Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
We're going to get into the Word today. You can go ahead and grab your Bible, stand to your feet, and turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Hope you enjoyed going through our Advent series, talking about hope and peace and joy and love. And now that the day that we celebrate and remember the birth of Jesus Christ, which we can really trace back and thank Tertullian for, the December 25th date, we are moving into a new year starting Thursday, and with that comes the beginning of our 21-day fast as a church. And so I want to talk about that today. And Jesus talks about fasting in Matthew chapter 6, which, let me just let you know, if you don't understand and realize, this is in the midst of Jesus' longest recorded sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And this is the basis for Christian living, the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gives. It gives us everything we need to know about Christianity, Christian ethics. And in it, Jesus talks about fasting, because fasting is a part of the Christian life. And so let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Jesus says this: "Moreover, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you don't appear to men to be fasting. But to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Let's pray today. Father, we come before you humbly. Thank you that we get to be in your house, and I ask that you would be with us as we open your word and we begin to prepare our hearts to fast before you. I ask that you would empty me of me, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and help me to say only what you would have me to say, and let he who has ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated today in the presence of the Lord. So as I mentioned earlier, this Thursday marks a new year. One of my favorite scriptures this time of year is Psalm chapter 65 that says that God crowns the year with his goodness. That word "crowns" means to encircle completely. That means from January 1 to December 31st, God has every single day chosen, he understands what's going on, and he has given his goodness to every single part of our year. Even when we're going through bad times, God has crowned the year with his goodness, because God is good. And so this Thursday, we're starting a new year, a new calendar year, January 1st. And with that comes the first day of our church-wide fast. And I'm asking you this as a pastor, that if you consider this, the Well Fort Payne, to be your church home, the body of Christ that you have connected with. And I love how C.S. Lewis talks about the church. He says the church is a house, and then there's hallways in the house, and there's different rooms. And those different rooms would be the denominations or the different belief styles. And sometimes you're in the hallway waiting to find out, where's the family room that I'm going to sit in? And so we realize that there are different walks, different ways of seeing things. There's Methodists, there's Baptists, there's Anglicans, there's Church of God, there's non-denominationals, there's Catholics. But we're all the family of God if we believe on the things that are essential for Christianity. And if you consider this to be the room that you sit in as the family of God, I'm asking you to fast with us January 1st through the 21st. Remember, the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' discourse on Christian living. And in the midst of it, he says, when you fast, not if you fast, but when you fast. It's a part of Christian living. It's a discipline that we follow. And so it's 21 days of focused pursuit of God. You may say, what is it? What is the 21-day fast? Break it down for me. It's very simply this. It's 21 days where we're saying, God, the first 21 days of the year, I'm going to be focused on you, because I want that to set the tempo for the rest of the year. Yeah. Not that I'm going to passionately seek you for 21 days and then forget about you the rest of them, but it's going to set my tone. It's going to set my disciplines of getting in the word, of prayer, of fellowshipping with you, having my mind focused and my face set like a flint to seek after you. So what should we do? Well, I want to give you four things that you should do while you're fasting. Later, we'll talk about the natural parts of fasting and what that looks like. But I want to give you four things that you should be doing while you're fasting. Number one, you should quiet the world and intently listen to the voice of the Father. Make that a goal every single day of those 21 days and every single day of your life. But one reason we do 21 days, yes, because Daniel had a 3-week fast, and we'll talk about that later, but also because they say 21 days starts a habit. Yeah. So if you can spend 21 days quieting the world, taking a moment, sitting in solitude, waiting before the Lord, remember God said in Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Psalm chapter 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40 says, wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So quiet the world and intently listen to the voice of the Father who calls to us. Number two, you should create moments of meditation to think, to set your mind upon God and the things of God, to think about the scripture that you're reading, the prayers that you're praying, the decisions and the commitments that you're making. We should take time to create moments of meditation. Number three, we should feast on the word of God. If we're not going to be feasting on things, natural things like certain types of food, then we should feast upon the word of God. Give ourselves a healthy diet. We're challenging you to read through the Bible in a year, in 2026. You can get a 1-year Bible. There's reading plans that are on the QR code in front of you or on the Welcome Center. You can pick one of those up and read through the Bible. 21 days, you can start that habit of getting in the word every single day, feasting on the word of God. The fourth thing I want to talk to you about is praying without ceasing. That while we're fasting, fasting without prayer is a useless spiritual activity. It's just starving. Yeah. It's just being miserable. But when we fast, we should also pray. In fact, I'll show you that. We're not taking the time today to go through all of this. But in Matthew chapter 6, when we're reading through this, Jesus has just gotten done talking about the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. How we should pray. When you pray, pray in this manner. And then after that, he says, when you fast. So when we pray and when we fast, and we should be doing those things together at the same time. It's very important that when we fast, we pray. So I want to encourage you to integrate morning, noon, and evening prayers into your daily routine. Morning prayer, afternoon prayer, right at noon, and evening prayer. So I want to encourage you, set an alarm on your phone, on your calendar, something that will alert you it's time to pray. Pray about what? That's the beautiful thing. You can pray about anything. Yeah. You can pray, God, heal my heavy heart. God, would you save my family member or my friend? God, would you provide for us in that way? Or how about just this? God, I just want to know you. I want to be nearer to you. But what I would actually encourage you to do, especially if you're like, man, that's daunting to pray 3 times a day, I want to encourage you to pray what Jesus told us to pray. 3 times a day. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set an alarm on my phone, the 21 days of the fast, morning, noon, and evening. And at those specific times, I'm going to be praying the Lord's Prayer. Could you imagine if we were all praying that simultaneously at the same time? Right? Our Father, who art in heaven. Because remember, that prayer is a communal-based prayer. Our Father. Jesus didn't say, my Father. Yeah. In fact, the early Christians, they did this. They prayed the Lord's Prayer morning, noon, and evening. All in their own places of work or in their own residences, but they were praying it together because it's a community-based prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. There's a first or second century document called the Didache. That's a Greek word that just means teaching. It's actually, some scholars date it earlier than some of the New Testament books that we have. And it starts out by talking about how it's the 12 apostles and their teaching of the ways of Jesus. And most of it is just straight from the Sermon on the Mount, how we should live as Christians and what we should do. And it's a 16-chapter book. It's an excellent read if you've ever liked to do it. You can find it online for free. Just look it up. But it's proper Christian practices and ethics. It talks about baptism. It talks about communion. It talks about denying sin, coming to God. But chapter 8 instructs the believer to fast every Wednesday and every Friday. Now, the Jews fasted on Mondays and on Wednesdays. I'm sorry, on Mondays and Thursdays. And so it said, when you fast, don't fast like the hypocrites. That's something Jesus said. And the Didache is actually calling the Jews hypocrites because they're acting pious, they're acting righteous, but they have not come through Jesus, so therefore they don't have relationship with God. And so he's the Didache says to fast on Wednesday and Friday and then worship together with other believers on Sunday. And so with that fasting is also the instruction to pray the Lord's Prayer morning, noon, and evening when you're fasting. Now, that's something I would highly encourage you to do. Now, I'm not saying you have to fast every single, 2 days a week, every Wednesday and every Friday. That's what the early church did. If you want to do it, I would not discourage you from doing that. But we're going to be fasting. And Jesus said, in this manner, pray. So I'm encouraging you to pray that every morning, every evening, every noon, and every evening, the Lord's Prayer. Okay. All right. Now let's move on. Three things you should know about fasting. Maybe you've never fasted before. Maybe this is a new concept to you. And anytime something's new, you may be wondering, why are we spending a whole Sunday talking about fasting? I'm just visiting here. Well, because as I said earlier, fasting is a vital part of Christian living. And so I want to help prepare you, because if we don't get prepared now, come Thursday, you're going to be like, oh, I just can't do it. I don't know. But I want you to be ready. I want you to feel like you can do this. Okay. So three things you should know about fasting. Number one, it's work. It's hard. It's not easy. No matter what you choose to fast. Maybe you say, I'm just going to fast media, social media, TV. You know what? That sounds easy. But give it a few days and you may be curled up in the fetal position begging for someone from Fox News to tell you what's going on in the world. But it's work. It's hard. Any type of discipline, and fasting is a spiritual discipline, any type of discipline takes effort on our part. Okay? And so it is work. But that you need. The second thing you need to know is this. It's worth it. Yeah. Even though it's work, it's worth it. By the end of it, you'll look back and you'll be like, thank God I fasted. Because I got something out of it. Because God got more of me. Because I got more of God. Because things have changed. And we'll talk later about why we should fast. This is just three things you should know. It takes discipline. It takes effort. But the third thing I want you to know is you can do it. Yeah. Your flesh is going to tell you can't do it. Yeah. Maybe your coworker is not going to understand why you're doing it. But you can do it. You're going to question yourself. You're going to think it's too hard. Oh, I don't know. That just sounds absolutely crazy. Listen. Faith sounds insane to people that are not walking in faith. Yeah. And fasting is an act of faith by saying, God, I'm giving myself completely to you for these 21 days because I want you to work a work in me that I cannot work for myself. So that's fasting. So it's work, it's worth it, you can do it. Remember this though, it's not about what you're going without, it's about what you're replacing it with. So many times we just focus on, oh, I can't eat this and I can't have that and I can't do that. No, remember what you're focusing on. Quieting the world, intently listening to the Father, right? Feasting on the Word of God, creating moments of meditation, consistent prayer. What I'm filling myself with is the fuel that is going to drive me to become more like Christ. So the denial of the flesh makes space for feasting on the needs of the Spirit. Just like our flesh has natural needs, we need water, we need food, we need rest. Your spirit has needs too. And fasting helps you fulfill the needs that your spirit has to become closer to God. Here's something I feel like the Lord spoke to me this week that I want you to take note of. It's a fast. It's not supposed to go by fast. I know anytime I fast, I just can't wait for it to be over, right? Like especially in years past when we've done complete 4-day or 6-day or 7-day, or we've even done 10-day fast where we don't eat anything, or we just do, you know, juice and broth and water, just liquid fast. I know from the time it starts, I'm just like, I can do it. I can make it. Sunday morning, I've just got to make it to Wednesday night. That's not the goal of a fast. Yeah. It's a fast. It's not supposed to go by fast, because we can miss what God wants to do over the period of time where we're denying ourselves when we're just looking to the end. Because listen, you as a human being have a strong enough mind and a strong enough will to go, I can push through and I can make it. But what would you miss along the journey if you're just focusing on the destination? Yeah. If you're just like, I'm going to make it to the end. I'm going to do it. I'm going to prove to myself that I can do it. What good is that? You're not fasting for you. You're fasting for God. right? You're fasting to develop and cultivate relationship with him. I've learned that it's very easy to rush through a fast because I know I can bear it. I know I can get through if I can just focus all my energy and willpower. No, it's about being weak so that he can be strong inside of us. My mom always told me if something is worth doing, it's worth doing right. So that's why we're talking about fasting today. Because if it's worth taking 21 days out of your calendar a year to fast before God, then it's worth to do it right. Because there is a wrong way to fast. Yeah. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1 through 3 says, "Cry aloud and spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins." Listen to what God says. "They seek me daily. They want to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God." Verse 3, "Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice?" So the people of God, they're asking him, why is it that we're fasting and you're not seeing it? You're not listening. You're not coming near to us. It's because they were fasting in the wrong way. Because later God responds to them and says, "Is this the fast that I've chosen? No, no, no. Here's my type of fast." And we'll talk about that verse later. So don't rush through to the end. Don't wish the moments away. Make the most of the time that you have. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 12 confirms the fact that we can fast in the wrong way. Jesus told a parable of two men. One's a Pharisee and one's a lowly sinner. And the Pharisee says, "Lord," he cries out in pride, loudly in the open square, "Lord, I fast twice a week." Remember, the Jews fasted on Mondays and on Thursdays. He said, "I fast twice a week. I give of my tithes." And Jesus says that there was the lowly man who he came and he humbled himself and he beat his chest and he said, "Lord, hear me, a sinner." You know what Jesus says after that? That man went to his house justified. That implies that the righteous Pharisee was not justified before God because he was fasting in the wrong way, okay? So he was prideful about his spiritual disciplines. The humble soul was justified. Now I've heard people say, let's go back to Matthew chapter 6, because Jesus says, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. They have a sad countenance. They want everyone to know, "I'm fasting, I'm in mourning, I am going without food to please God." They want everybody to know that. He says, when you do that, when you fast, anoint your face, wash yourself. I would encourage you to do that whether you're fasting or not, okay? Wash yourself, make sure you smell good, make sure you look good. We have a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old, and we're having to teach those boys how to keep themselves smelling nice. It doesn't come natural to them, okay? It's a learned behavior to have hygiene. And Jesus says, I want you to not appear like you're fasting. So I've heard people say, Jesus said when you're fasting, don't tell anybody you're fasting. Read it again. Jesus never said that. He never verbatim said, don't tell him when you're fasting. He said, don't have a sad countenance when you fast. Don't make it appear that you're fasting. Appear normal, because you shouldn't clock into work on, maybe you go to work on January 1st, maybe you have the day off and you go on January 2nd, and you come in and you're dragging, "What's wrong with you today, Bill? Our church is fasting." I'm asking you, if that's how you're going to do it, again, there's a wrong way. Just don't even do it. For your sake, for the kingdom's sake, don't represent Jesus that way. Jesus said, that's not how you fast. Be happy. Be joyful, even in the midst of a fast. Why? Because you know that the current suffering that you're facing cannot be compared to the glory which would be revealed in you, because you're going to come out of this fast closer to God. You're going to come out of this fast with new disciplines, new desires, new delight. So Jesus didn't say, don't tell anyone. He's saying, don't try to make others take note of your fasting. What Jesus is really getting at is spiritual pride. He's not saying don't tell people. He's saying don't elevate yourself by bragging about the fact that you're fasting. He points out that when the hypocrites fast, now hang on, let's just stop there for a second. Don't fast like the hypocrites. This is interesting. The hypocrites fast. We have Christians who won't even fast, yet hypocrites will fast. Yeah, that's interesting. I would challenge you with this. Don't be outdone by a hypocrite, please. Right? The hypocrites fast, and you're like, well, I don't have to fast. I'm just telling you, you can do this, okay? Listen, let me just say this. The fast we're doing, you can still eat on. We're doing a Daniel fast for 21 days, okay? Now, if you choose to go a certain amount of days with no food, that's between you and God. That's totally fine. That's highly encouraged. But you can eat for 21 days. Okay? You can do this on almost anything. Now, I will say, let's say if you are in something like the military and you have certain dietary restrictions or there's things that you can't, like, I understand that you are released from this, okay? But do what you can. That's what I would encourage you to do. You can eat on this fast, okay? And it may not be what you're used to. It won't be what you want, but you can do it. And guess what? You will be better off spiritually and physically. Trust me. You're going to look better, okay? That's not the reason we're doing it. But you're going to feel better. You're going to be closer to God. And so Jesus is saying, fast with joy. Why? Because you're not fasting for men. You're fasting for God. In fact, God in Zechariah, God asked, when you were in exile, oh Judah, and you fasted, did you fast for me? And then he reemphasizes, for me? Basically saying to them, you weren't fasting for me. You're fasting for you. So we don't fast for people. We fast for God because we're not hypocrites. Okay? All right. Now, why do we fast? What's the purpose behind fasting? Number one, Jesus expects it. Jesus, our rabbi, our teacher, our master, our Lord and our Savior, he expects his followers to fast. We already read in Matthew 6:17, but when you fast, not if you fast, it was an expectation of Jesus. It was a no-brainer. People who come after me, they're going to fast. And he wants us to fast with joy. He says also in Mark chapter 2, we read this text last week, and Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom, they cannot fast. But the days will come, and we're living in those days, when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. Yeah. Not they might fast. Fasting is not legalism. It's a part of Christianity. Jesus expects us to fast. The second reason to fast is fasting changes things. I've seen this in my life. I've heard countless testimonies time after time of, I fasted and God did this. I fasted and this happened. I fasted and the miracle came. I fasted and the provision came. I fasted and the addiction was gone. Fasting changes things. Ezra chapter 8 verses 21 through 23. Ezra says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava that we might humble ourselves before God and seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. During this fast, you should be seeking God. What is the right way for myself and my family that you want us to go? Because you're going to hear God clearer during a fast. Yeah. So it's a good time to ask him what he wants from you. Verse 22, for I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king saying, the hand of our God is upon those who for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. Listen to verse 23. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. When they fasted and they entreated God, he answered, because fasting coupled with prayer changes things. Esther 4:16. Here's a good little Bible trivia tidbit for you. The book of Esther never mentions God. Not one time. Not one mention of God. But it does mention fasting. Okay? It says in Esther 4:16, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. This is Esther speaking, because remember, she's going to have to go to the king to beseech him to give mercy concerning the Jews, because wicked Haman wants to annihilate all of the Jews. And so she's going to have to go to him. And if she goes without being summoned by the king, she could be threatened to be killed. And so she says, okay, guess what? I will go to the king, but I'm not going unless y'all fast with me, because I'm going to need the favor. It doesn't say the favor of God, but she was going to need God's favor to be with her. So she says, fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. You know the end of the story. She goes to the king, and the king says, what do you want? You can have up to half the kingdom. She says, just come to a banquet with me. And she ends up being a deliverer of the Jews because they fasted. Yeah. Fasting changes things. Good. Okay? We make much of Esther's boldness, rightfully so. But I think of equal importance is the fact that the people of God fasted with her for an intended outcome, and God performed it. Okay? 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the kingdom of Judah, who was a righteous kingdom at the time because they had a righteous king by the name of Jehoshaphat, they were attacked by four neighboring countries. And when those countries are coming against them, the Bible says that Jehoshaphat, he feared and he set his heart to seek the Lord and he proclaimed a fast. And all the people begin to fast all day. And then the Spirit of the Lord falls upon a man, and a man begins to prophesy and says, don't send the warriors out, send the praisers out first. And so they follow the voice of God. They send those that praise out before them, and God sets ambushes against their enemy. They never have to swing a sword. They never have to shoot an arrow. They never have to pick up a shield. God annihilates their enemies. But what we skip over so many times is, what did Jehoshaphat do? He sought the Lord, and he tells everyone, let's fast. Fasting changes things in the kingdom of God and in our life. All right, number three, fasting empowers us in a way that other things cannot. How do I know this? Because in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, a man brings his son to the disciples that is tormented by an evil spirit, and he wants them to be able to cast out this evil spirit. And they try, but they cannot. And so then they have to call in Jesus. Like, Jesus, right? Call to the bullpen. We need you to come in. We couldn't cast him out. So Jesus comes and he casts out. And then the disciples, they come and they want to know why. Why couldn't we cast it out? Matthew 17, 21, Jesus says, however, this kind, it does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Basically, they weren't praying and they weren't fasting. They wanted to have authority. They wanted to have power over unclean spirits. There could be unclean spirits. There could be demonic powers, things that are trying to come against you in your home or things that are in your family. And they're not going to come out unless you pray and you fast. That's what Jesus said. So fasting empowers us, disciplines us, strengthens us in a way that nothing else can. Yeah. Going to the gym can't strengthen you in spiritual ways.
Yeah.
Right? But praying and fasting can do even things that worship can't do. Reading the Bible. I read the Bible at the demon. No, Jesus said this kind only comes out but by prayer and fasting. Okay, number four. Fasting brings reward. In Matthew 6:18 that we read earlier, he says, see that you don't appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who is in the secret place will reward you openly. Jesus blatantly promises reward connected to fasting. So when you fast for 21 days, know that at the end of the 21 days, or sometime in the 21 days, or sometime later, because the seed has been planted and it takes time for the seed to die and to germinate and to bring forth life, but you are planting seeds that will bring about reward in your life to come when you fast. Jesus promised this. St. Augustine said this, fasting cleanses the soul. It raises the mind, subjects one's flesh to the spirit, renders the heart contrite and humble, scatters the clouds of concupiscence. That's a word that we don't use, but it just means like sexual immorality or sexual desires. Quenches the fire of lust, kindles the true light of chastity. Enter again into yourself. So he's saying fasting will produce all of these things in your life. It will cleanse your soul. It will raise your mind. There's a reward in it. Back to Isaiah chapter 58. In Isaiah 58, God says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? Because remember in verse 3, 2 and 3, the people have said, we're fasting, why don't you see it? We're fasting, why aren't you answering? Why aren't you coming close to us? God responds in verse 6 and says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness? To undo heavy burdens? To let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover them, and do not hide your own flesh. Listen to verse 8, because remember, this point is fasting brings reward. So God says, this is my fast. And then in verse 8, he says, then. Well, that word then would imply after you fasted the way I've called for you to fast, your light shall break forth in the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. I'm believing that if you need healing in your body, in your mind, in your heart, in your family, in your finances, that through this 21 days, God will bring forth that healing when you fast the way he's called for us to fast, not just the way we want to fast. He says, then your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Could you imagine if everywhere that you went, the glory of the Lord was your rear guard? He says that's what will happen when you fast the way that I want you to fast. Now, let's get very, very practical for the last 16 minutes that I have before we go and we baptize these believers today. What to fast? Okay? Let's start with non-food fast items. I would encourage you for 21 days to fast social media. What do I mean by that? Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. What am I going to do at my desk when I don't have anything to do? You're going to read the Bible. You're going to pray. You're going to meditate. You're going to feast on the Word of God. What am I going to do when I'm, you know, on my break, or I don't have any, or I'm sitting at home at night? Well, if I don't have YouTube, if I don't have Instagram, trust me, you will be better off if you just take 21 days and quiet the world so that you can intently listen to the voice of the Father. It's amazing. We want God to scream louder than YouTube and Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. And I don't know what else people are doing. I hear something called Be Real. I don't even know what it is. I'm like, I'm already real. Why would I need to be real? Right? But if you will quiet that, you can hear more. You can hear more clearly from God. If you are struggling to hear the voice of God, limit what you're listening to. So that you can hear him. Just like if I asked all of you to scream your names to me, I couldn't pick up everybody's name. But if I asked you one by one to tell me your name, I could clearly hear you because there's not all the distraction of other noise. That's what a time of fasting is. It's quieting the world so we can listen to God. So fast, I would encourage you, social media. And let me just say this. If you are sitting here going, I don't know if I can go 21 days without Facebook, then you need to.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I can go 21 days without watching YouTube videos, then you probably need to.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not healthy to be dependent on those things. Yeah. Just from a soul standpoint.
Yeah.
Much less in our relationship with God and others.
Yeah.
Okay. The second thing I would encourage you to fast is traditional media, like television. Okay? Or what's going to happen in the world? Like, if you're really worried about going without the news for 21 days, again, I really think that's a problem. I'm not saying we should create a little cloistered environment where we never know what's going on in the outside world and we bury our heads in the sand. No. Jesus talked about events that took place in the world. Trust me, if something that big happens, someone will let you know about it.
Yeah.
Okay? Just because you weren't the first one to hear it. I know y'all are all CNN people. First people to hear it on CNN. That was a joke. It's okay. Everyone was like, oh my gosh, he actually thinks I watch CNN. He's going to kick me out of the church. No, it's okay if you watch CNN. Fox News, okay? CBN. If you watch CBN. But I would encourage you, take 21 days. Go without it. Don't listen to it. Don't watch it. Trust me, if something that catastrophic happens, you will find out. You will know. It'll be all right. We need to spend more time looking for the return of Christ than we do what's going on in popular culture anyways. I see these news things, because I do. I check the news, okay? And I see these news articles. I'm like, who cares? Do people really care about that? Like, I don't know. Anyways. All right. Another thing to fast. Addictions. Now, this sounds dumb, right? To fast addictions. But I believe that you can do it. Maybe you're addicted to alcohol. Maybe you're addicted to nicotine. Maybe you cannot go more than a few hours without putting a Zen in your mouth or dipping, or you can't go without vaping, or you can't go without Diet Coke, or you can't go without this or that or Facebook, whatever it is, anything, coffee. Yeah, anything that you're like, I don't know if I can go without that. Choose to go without it. Why? Because you're telling it, I own you, you don't own me. You know what owns me? Jesus Christ. That's it. He bought me with his precious, incorruptible blood. So therefore, I'm going to glorify God in my body. You know what Paul said? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful. Therefore, I will not be made a slave, though, by anything. Anything that you're a slave to, that you can't go. And here's the funny thing is, people think this is so dumb while living in bondage. Remember what did Isaiah say? This is the fast I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness. What's wickedness? Anything that goes against God. Anything that he doesn't approve of. If there's something in your life that you're doing that you know God is not approving of, some people, you may choose, I'm going to fast pornography for 21 days. I believe there is no way you can be a worse person at the end of 21 days by fasting pornography. It will be healthy for you. You may say, that's so dumb. No, what's dumb is choosing to stay addicted to something that is ruining your well-being and your connection with God. That's what's really dumb. You think it's really going to make a difference in people's life to go without Diet Coke for 21 days? Yes, I do. I really do. If it has an addiction in your life, if it's commanding you and it has control of you. So fast addictions. Okay, the last one. Fast anything that you know is wicked and make it a permanent fast.
Yeah.
Just choose. I'm going without it. If it's wicked, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to let it have a place in my life. I've been justifying it long enough. I've been putting up with it long enough. I'm going to fast it. I've heard of people, I've known people that were addicted to alcohol that chose in a 21-day fast to fast alcohol, and they no longer have that addiction in their life. I'm not going to stand up here today and tell you that drinking alcohol is going to send you to hell. That's not condemned. Do not be drunk with wine. That is condemned in Scripture. Drinking wine, not condemned in Scripture. In fact, Jesus used wine to institute communion, not grape juice, wine. Okay? So it's not condemned to drink wine. But if you can't go a night without it, you need to go 21 nights without it and say no to it, anything that is holding you back. Okay, now let's talk about the Daniel fast. If you go to that next slide for me, please, Michelle. Okay, now this is the fast that we have chosen to hopefully be the general fast for every one of us. Okay, now again, you are free to make your own plan with this. Okay, we're not commanding that you do this. If you don't live this way for 21 days, we're not going to kick you out of the church. We're not going to come to your house and go through your cupboards. We're not going to judge you if we see you going through a McDonald's drive-thru, okay? You are welcome to fast how you feel like God is calling you to fast. My only request is this, that you fast, okay? But I would highly encourage this kind of fast for 21 days. And we'll get into the biblical reasons as to why we have chosen this fast. Now, on the not approved, I know this text is kind of small, but I had a lot of things to fit on here. If you want a 21-day meal plan, you can scan the QR code on the seat back in front of you, or you can go to the Welcome Center. There's some printed out. There's a 21-day meal plan and a grocery list, okay? Hopefully that will be very helpful for you and your family. Our family, we're going to Costco on Wednesday, and we're going to get a bunch of produce and just all the Daniel fast stuff, okay? Here's what is not approved. If you choose a Daniel fast, here's what's not approved. Meat, okay? So we're all going to be vegetarian and really vegan for 21 days. I don't think vegan is a good way to live. Personally, you know, I think, you know, when God told Peter in Acts chapter 10, rise, kill, and eat, you don't kill vegetables. You kill animals, okay? So you better believe when we come back to normal eating, I'm having a steak. I'm going to have hamburgers. I'm going to have chicken. I'm going to have salmon. But for the sake of 21 days, see, here's why this is such a big deal to me is I love meat. I am a carnivore. If you're like, you have to live the rest of your life on red meat, I would be fine with that. I could eat hamburgers for breakfast, steak for lunch, and something else with beef short ribs for dinner. I'd be totally fine, okay? But I'm choosing to say no because I want God more, and we're sacrificing, okay? So meat, which also means animal-based products. So chicken or beef stock, honey, beef tallow, things of that nature, okay? So animal-based products. If we're doing a Daniel fast, that is not approved. Dairy, why? It's an animal-based product, okay? So milk, cheese, yogurt, things of that nature. Now, if you want to do a modified Daniel fast, you're like, I'm going to have Greek yogurt. Go for it. That is totally up to you. This is like if you're going strict, okay? Eggs, animal-based product. Sweeteners, sugar, Sweet and Low, Splenda, Stevia, sweeteners, out, okay? Honey is an animal-based product. Sugar, all those things. Another thing is processed foods. Can I also just say that, like, the last two, you probably really don't need even when we start back, okay? In fact, one of the things we want to do this year is have a class on on physical wellness. Tommy and Carly, who are sitting on the front row, I hope I don't embarrass you guys, they're very dedicated to eating properly, to eating a lot of organic things, to being careful about what you put in your body. What you put in your body is fuel. My family and I, we've already made some switches starting back in November to start eating healthier, and I can tell you, I feel better. I may not look better yet, but I'm going to after the 21-day fast. But we want to do a class in 2026 if you're like, you know what, I want to be healthier. I want to know how to eat better, because most people think that eating healthy is getting a salad at Zaxby's. It's not. Okay. I'm just going to be honest with you. Now that's a better alternative than that's not what I'm talking about today. Never mind. Come to the class with Tommy and Carly. Okay. But those are not approved things. All right. Now approved things. This is what we need to focus on. This is what we're going to be eating. Vegetables. I don't like vegetables. You may learn to like vegetables after a few days, okay? And there's plenty of ways to prepare vegetables. You can do them roasted in the oven. You can cook them on the stove, as long as you don't cook them in a beef tallow. You know, you can cook them in coconut olive oil. But you can prepare vegetables different ways. You can have fruits. So any fruit you can have. Let me say this really quickly, okay? All right. Most of the lists that I found online condemned coffee in a Daniel fast. Okay. But I did a little research. Okay. Botanically, coffee is classified as a fruit. Okay. It is not a bean. It's a seed. Do you see the word up there? Seeds. Okay. Now, if you're addicted to coffee, be a good idea to go sometime. You don't have to go the whole time. You can. Be a good idea to go without it. But I will say this. Many people are like, coffee's not on the Daniel fast. That's actually not categorically true. Coffee is the seed of a fruit. You can have coffee. Now, you can't put milk in it, but you can put almond milk in it. You can put coconut milk in it. You can put soy milk in it. So if you want to have your coffee, listen, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to have my coffee, okay, while I'm fasting. I'm going to have some coffee because it counts. So vegetables, fruits, grains, oats. Oatmeal is an excellent breakfast on the Daniel fast. Oatmeal with a banana and some maple syrup. Let me give you another little cheat code. Maple syrup, not an animal-based product like honey. It's not sugar. I guess sugar technically, you could have sugar as long as it's real sugar, not refined sugar. So you can actually sweeten things. Some people would say, no, you can't sweeten things. I don't see any reason not to use maple syrup. It comes from a tree, okay? All right, so you can have oats. You can have rice. So you can make, like, fried rice with some vegetables. Like, that's, people are like, what am I going to eat on the Daniel fast? Eat fried rice. Literally, get some rice and some soy sauce and some vegetables, throw it on the Blackstone, and you'll have a great meal, and you won't even know you're fasting, okay? All right, pasta. Because if it's made with whole grains or it's made with rice, we eat gluten-free pasta in our house, so it's made with like rice. So pasta, quinoa, barley. I will not be eating barley, just full disclaimer. Also, it had something on there called millet. If you want to eat millet, go for it. I don't even know what that is. All right, beans and legumes. Did I say legumes right? Is that right? Okay, beans and legumes. So black beans, kidney beans, lentils, peanuts, chickpeas. In times past, when I've done a Daniel fast, it seems like everyone around me only thinks that nuts are the only thing you can eat. Do you remember in J38, Tanner, like everyone's just eating nuts, like literally destroying their digestive system and their innards by just like eating. Like, listen, trust me on this. If you eat too many peanuts, you will wish you did not eat too many peanuts, okay? So take it easy on the peanuts. But you can also eat nuts, you know, almonds are not nuts, by the way, also, but you can have almonds. But different types of nuts. You can have seeds, plant-based milks, juice, herbal teas, coconut oil, olive oil, avocado oil, any of those things. So if you want to take a picture of that or whatever, but I would highly encourage you to do this as much as possible. Now, let me read to you two portions of scripture from the book of Daniel, and then we will begin to close today. I know this is very, very practical at the end, but most people don't Daniel fast because they just don't even know what it means. Okay, so hopefully you're leaving here today going, you know what? Our family, we can do this. Yeah. We can go without meat for 21 days. Maybe you just do that. I'm not going to eat meat for 21 days. I'm not going to get too strict on this oil or that sweetener or this snack, but do what you can and make a plan. And whatever plan you make, stick with it. That's my only, is choose to fast, and whatever you choose, stick with it. Make it for 21 days. Trust me, you will be glad you did. Okay, Daniel chapter 1. Daniel and his companions have been taken out of their homeland of Judah. They've been brought into the kingdom of Babylon. They're living in exile in a pagan kingdom. And the most choice young men have been brought to be in service of the king. And they're getting fed delicacies of the king. They're getting meat and they're getting wine and all of these. Oh, another thing that should be on the not approved list is you're actually supposed to fast wine on the Daniel fast. So in verse 12, Daniel says to the eunuch who is in charge of he and his companions, please test your servants for 10 days. Some of you guys are wondering, why can't we do 10 days instead of 21? We'll talk about that. And let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented them in the matter and tested them 10 days. Verse 15, at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus, the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. They all hated Daniel and his buddies. You know it. Like, they're getting to eat meat and drink wine, and Daniel and his friends do this fast for 10 days. And so the eunuch's like, no, no, no. All the meat and wine's coming back. They probably just absolutely hated those Hebrew boys. All right. Daniel chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, was in mourning 3 full weeks. So there's the 21 days. I ate no pleasant food. No meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all. Jesus told us to anoint ourselves. Till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So we kind of put these two times of testing and fasting together, the 10-day period with Daniel under the eunuch, and then the 21-day period where he ate no meat nor wine nor pleasant food. That's why a lot of those things on that list that are not approved is because they're pleasant food. That's why a lot of people don't do any sweeteners or they don't drink coffee, because those things are pleasant. They try to only eat things that are, you know, not really pleasant to them. So with that being said, my two biggest requests: choose a fast. Number two, stick with it.
Yeah.
Okay? Stand to your feet. And I believe that you're going to see a reward. You're going to draw closer to God. Now, with that, we will have some specific times that we will announce closer that you can come and spend time in the sanctuary. Obviously, we'll have Sunday morning services. We'll have Tuesday night prayer every Tuesday from 6 to 7. You can come and pray. Wednesday night services. And then we'll have a few extra services that you can come and you can fast and you can be in the presence of the Lord together with other, believers. I want to go ahead and release at this time. If you are getting baptized or you need to help your children get ready to get baptized, you can go ahead and be released as I begin to close service. And then as soon as I pray the blessing, we're going to go out these doors and we're going to come celebrate together the baptism of these 5 individuals that are choosing to do this wonderful thing in the kingdom of God. So Father, I pray today that as we are preparing our hearts to fast, I believe that you're going to respond. It's not just something that we have to do. It's something that we have the opportunity to do, to draw closer to you. And I ask that you would prepare your people today to do what we need to do in order to deny our flesh, in order to make the right decisions, to choose to set our mind on things above, and to cleanse our soul, and to set guidelines, routines, habits that are healthy and Christ-like. And Lord, I pray that you would bless every person as they fast, give them supernatural grace. When they feel weak, may they feel your strength welling up inside of them. And I pray that you would help us to not try to go fast through the fast, but to let you do a deep work inside of us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace, smile upon you, and may he give you his name, and may you be blessed in all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Hope to see you outside for the baptism.